God bless each one of you. It truly is good to be together this morning in the Lord's house and to tremendously enjoyed our time together in Sunday school. And we'd like to share a message with you this morning entitled, A Father's Legacy. Whether we like it or not, each one of us, whether we're a father or not, each one of us is building a legacy. And we will be remembered. Our legacy will be remembered. But this morning I want to focus in on being Father's Day. I want to focus in on a father's legacy. And I appreciate it, Ray's thoughts on our Father, being the perfect Father, our Heavenly Father. And he has truly built quite a legacy. I like to think about that a little bit in introduction. Today is a perfectly beautiful day. I don't know how you would improve upon the weather outside. And we've been having a beautiful spring, beginning of summer here. The other evening, Mary and I were driving home, and the sunset was just absolutely, it's incredible. The colors in the sky were just beautiful. Only God could do that. Been having some beautiful sunrises as well. A few weeks ago, enjoyed some fresh peas. I just love peas out of the garden in the spring. If you get them young enough, wonderful. One of my favorite vegetables. Been having strawberries, enjoying them around our house. Marion tends to all the flower beds, and there we have some beautiful flowers. I don't know what they are. I have to ask Marion, what's this, what's that? But gorgeous flowers, and just so many beautiful things to look at. And we could think about the animal kingdom. Seen some deer last evening out in the field. Not too long ago, seen some turkeys. And this is the wildlife that's out there. If you ever have an opportunity, drive to northern PA in September and listen to the bull elk's bugle. Incredible. Everyone should hear an elk bugle sometime in their lifetime. Just an incredible noise, a bugle that they make. But then we can also think of the domesticated animals that are among us. When you think of, we have some dairy farmers here, Kervin and Mike. You have Randall, you have a baby calf born. And how do they know to suck? How do they know within minutes they're walking? Baby lambs, the same thing. You could think about all the domesticated animals. I was, last week, we're up at the Catawissa Creek, and our grandchildren are playing around in the creek. It was way too cold for adults, but the children, they didn't mind. They're in there and wading around in the creek, having a good time. And here come Tristan and Dorcas with their new puppy they have for a few weeks, little white lab, and little puppy's name is Clover. They come walking down to the creek. Now, I'm assuming this dog never saw water in its life, at least like a creek or a pond. They come walking down there. And this little puppy goes right into the water and starts walking around the water. And after a while, it gets out too deep and puppy starts swimming. It's like, I just watching it. That's marvelous. Why didn't that dog have a fear of water? But it's instincts. God instilled in the dog to know that it, water would be enjoyable and that it could swim. And it all these things, and you could go on and on for hours, all these things point back to our Father's legacy, the very first verse in the Bible, in the beginning, God created. Only God could do all these marvelous things. But then we look around in the world, and you just think of a few weeks ago down in Orlando that there would be a so-called gay nightclub full of people, and a man would walk in there with a gun and open fire and murder 49 people, and then take his own life was taken by the police, I believe. But so many people injured, and you look at that and you think, does that also reflect on the legacy of God? No, because we understand what sin is. Mankind is really the crowning achievement of God's in creation. A beautiful thing that God did. So all the sin and the debauchery that we see in the world doesn't reflect on God the Father at all. But do you know what does? Redemption. reflects, and in redemption, we see God's mercy and we see God's love for mankind, for fallen mankind, that he would send his own son into the world to give his life so that mankind could be redeemed. So the price of it was incredible, and the results of it was incredible. And so this morning, I'm looking at a whole lot of redeemed people who very accurately reflect the legacy of God. Only God could do what he has done in many of our lives. And it's beautiful to see that and to think about it. The word legacy defined means something transmitted by or received from an ancestor or predecessor from the past. Examples: he left his children a legacy of love and respect. The war left a legacy of pain and suffering. And so I want to think of some of the definitions of legacy make it sound like a person needs to be dead in order to leave a legacy. I'm not suggesting God's dead, because he's not. He's alive. And so are all the redeemed. So is everyone that has gone into eternity spiritually. They are alive, but they have left a legacy, as will each one of us. A legacy is something that is made by an individual. In a sense, a legacy is a biography that is written about us and is left for other people to deal with. Some of them are very terrible, and some of them are very great. And I often think of this when I visit my father. We were just there on Friday evening, I believe, and visiting with him, and his mind is, his memory for the most part is just not there anymore. And yet, as I sit and I converse with him, I can't help but think of the impact, or I should say, of the legacy he has left. He has already left a legacy. When I think of all the interactions I had with him over my lifetime, and my siblings and our family, and so there's a legacy there already. And that's what we want to think about this morning as we consider a father's legacy. In so many ways, in 2016, the odds are really stacked against godly fathers in the world today. The odds are stacked against us of leaving a good legacy. But it is very possible, and I know that many of us are doing that, and I want to be an encouragement this morning and strengthen each one of us, and I want to help the scriptures to motivate us to really think about the legacy we're leaving and to be diligent about having a desire to leave a good legacy. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Many years ago, I don't know, probably 30 years ago, and I forget if it was my parents had the family down to Groff's restaurant. Betty Groff, she's wrote a lot of cookbooks. Some of you may have her cookbooks in your homes. I don't think Betty's living anymore. But I was at a banquet at Groff's restaurant. It was either my parents had us there or else maybe the Schaeferstown Ambulance. But I will always remember she did something that night that just really left an impression on me. We sat down at the table, and I think it was Betty herself that served us that evening, or she was there and took part in it. And the first thing that they brought out was a small piece of chocolate cake and some cracker pudding. I love cracker pudding. And it was, but yet, the first thing they bring out, we're at a banquet, and they bring a piece of chocolate cake and cracker pudding out and set it in front of us. And I'll never forget what Betty said. She said, If we would leave this till last, you wouldn't enjoy it nearly as much after you've ate the main course and you've had all the meat and the potatoes and what have you. And this is really good cake and really good cracker pudding, and it's just a small portion. And I want you to, I want your taste buds that are all fresh and you're hungry, you're ready to eat. I want you to taste this cake and this cracker pudding before we have the main course. And we don't just want to have it tacked to the end of things. We want to have it up front. And so I had to think about that as I was preparing this message, because there's a verse that I have tacked at the end of my message. And it's like, to me, it's actually the verse that motivated me and got me to thinking about this, preparing this message. And it's like, no, I can't have it at the end for fear it'll be 11 o'clock or 2 minutes after. And I'm like, I got to quick shut my Bible so we can all go home and enjoy our lunch. So I want to have it up front as our little chocolate cake and cracker pudding so we can really, truly enjoy it at the beginning. And it's Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. And I want to pull some points this morning from the life of Noah as I encourage and strengthen fathers about the legacy that we're going to leave. And Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7 says this about Noah. And this is, in this one little verse, we have the legacy of Noah. And when I read this over and over again, I had to think that in just a sentence or two, someday somebody would be able to take a pen and write down our legacy in a sentence or two. Imagine living, whether it's 30 years or 50 years or 100 years, that somebody can just, with a stroke of a pen, in a sentence or two, write about the legacy that we left. And what challenged me was, what a goal to have that of each one of us fathers here this morning, that somebody could write something similar to this about our legacy that we left with the world. The verse says this, we're in Hebrews 11:7. It says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." Noah was warned of the judgment by God that was going to come on the world because of the great flood. And you and I as fathers, we have been warned about the judgment of God. We know that God's judgment is going to fall on all wickedness and sinners will be judged. We know that. We understand that. And the scripture here says that it was by faith that Noah, understanding the judgment that's going to come, by faith, he moved by fear, or a better word would be by reverence of God. He reverenced who God was. He understood that judgment was sure and was going to happen. And so that motivated him, and he was moved into action. And then it says, he prepared an ark to the saving of his house. And that tells us that he also believed in the mercy of God, and he believed that what God told him was true, and he believed that this ark that God told him to build would save his family. And so he went to work, and he built an ark to the saving of his family. And I believe, brothers and sisters, this is in a physical sense, and yet I believe it holds true today that those of us who are fathers, that we take God's judgment and his mercy seriously. And if we're motivated by reverence for who God is, that we can build a house to the saving of our family. We can build a family. We can build a home, a house to the saving of our family. And I know that only a person can be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. At the same time, a father has so much to do in building and structuring the home and teaching and training children that beautiful things can happen and we can leave a legacy much like Noah left to the saving of his family. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. That's a good goal, fathers, for each one of us to have. To be like Noah and to move and to build a house to the savings of our families. The first point, and let's go back to Genesis 6, where I'm going to pull my thoughts from this morning. Genesis 6. And I have about 10 points. They're not going to be long. That I would like us to think about Noah this morning and how just practical things on what we can do to leave a legacy very similar to the legacy that Noah left, and to look at the things that Noah has done. And my first point is very simple, and that is, fathers, you cannot do it yourself. You will fail if you set out on your own strength to do it. You will fail. It is guaranteed. And in chapter 6, we see this. And I want to read verses 5 through 7. Chapter 6, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air. For it repenteth me that I have made them. And that is that a picture of the world which we live in today? I constantly hear, seemingly on a daily basis, and we just heard it this morning here in church, on the demise of the United States of America and the downward spiral that we're on. It's incredible. Sometimes I read the news and I read things and I think, if someone would have told me this just 20 or 30 years ago, I wouldn't have believed it. I would not have believed that this could happen in this short of a time. And it's happening. There is just so much evil around us. And Brother Dan shared this morning in teaching our Sunday school, and he was sharing about the Jews leaving Germany. Why didn't they leave? And will people look back someday and think, why didn't the Christians leave the United States? My question is, where would we go? There's no place to go. Where is there a better country? And so the world at large is there's just sin is rampant. But where we find comfort in the life of Noah and is in the next verse, in verse 8, where it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In that setting, in the way things were, as terrible as they were, and we just read the verses, there was a terrible situation in the world. People's thoughts and their hearts were evil continually. But in the midst of that, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And brothers and sisters, we also can find grace in the eyes of the Lord. And many of us have. And therein is the very key to leaving a good and a godly legacy. Finding grace in the eyes of the Lord. Which brings me to my second point. What does it mean to find grace in the eyes of the Lord? Experiencing God's grace is key to building a godly legacy. And the word grace simply means unmerited favor, and Noah found it. The verse says he found it in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Did you ever? I know you've seen it, and sometimes we as parents, we do it all the time. We have young children especially, and we probably don't even think of it that we're doing it, but I see it sometimes in parents with younger children. Their eyes, either with a person's eyes, they can either give approval or they can give a look of warning with their eyes. Their child's doing something they shouldn't be doing, and their parents' eyes look over there. And so parents have the ability with their eyes to give a look of warning or even a scolding in a sense, or they can give a look of approval. And God looked upon Noah with eyes of approval. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. Third thing I want to discuss briefly is the evidence that one is experiencing God's grace. Right here in these verses, in verse 9, we have the evidence that Noah was really experiencing the grace of God. Notice what it says in verse 9. It says, These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. This verse is amazing because I see the humanness of the writer. We know the Bible, holy men of old wrote as they were inspired by the Spirit. But you read verse 9, it starts out, these are the generations of Noah. And then the writer's like, oh, whoops, you know, hey. And he says, Noah was a just man. He backs up, in a sense, and describes Noah. And then in verse 10, goes on and describes his generations. But this is what he says in the latter part of verse 9 about Noah. He says he was a just man. And the word just simply means lawful. He was a lawful man. He was a law-abiding man. He, I believe, obeyed the laws of God. And I'm not sure at that time if there was any laws of the land. Probably not. I can't imagine they had zoning ordinances or things like that to obey. Hard to imagine. But he obeyed the laws of God. He was just. And that is really so important in the life of a father, to be lawful. Very, very important. And I'm blessed. I'm blessed as I sit with my father and I'm able to think back over his life and to say he was a law-abiding man. He had it in his heart and taught us and instructed us to be law-abiding. And it means, and as Noah's described here, Noah was a just man, or he was a law-abiding man. And then it says, the second thing it mentions is that he was perfect. And that's the word simply means integrity. Noah had integrity. The world in which we live today, there is so little integrity. Integrity is found among God's redeemed people. And there's so little of it out there. And I know that we all fail from time to time, but I have a whole list of just telling Marion yesterday, I believe it was, of people that I called for service or something, and they come out and they say, okay, well, I need to get, and they never come back. And it's like, what? And it's too late in the fall. I'll be there first thing in the spring. Okay, that's great. I want this done. Okay, yeah, we'll be there. And you never hear from them again. A lack of integrity is so rampant today. But Noah wasn't like that. Noah had integrity. When Noah said yes, he meant yes. And he carried through with it. And when Noah said no, he meant no. And that is very important for a father. If we're going to be like Noah and be like God, to have integrity. And then the third thing it says is it says that Noah walked with God. He knew what it was like to be a companion of God. He knew what it was like to, on a daily basis, to fellowship and commune with God. It's the scripture simply says he walked with God. What did that mean in the Old Testament times for a man to walk with God? But that's how the writer here describes Noah. He walked with God. I had to think of a verse in Amos chapter 3, verse 3, that says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Noah walked with God. And so Noah was a lot like God. He agreed with God. He kept God's laws and he walked with God. You know, this is a really good verse, fathers and men, for us, for all of us to apply to our own lives. When we're confronted with all the evil, and especially the immorality, the pornography that is bombarding us from every angle, practically nakedness we see out there in the streets, are we walking with God? Can two be? How does the verse in Amos say? Can two walk together except they be agreed? So how could a person be involved in any of that stuff if we are walking with and in agreement with God? And so the truth is that when we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us in New Testament times and we're walking with God and we're in agreement with him, we have the power to live a godly life. We have the power to turn away from that, to not look again. We have the power to do that. We are walking with God. And so here we have fathers. This is a proven foundation that works. It was the foundation that Noah had, and it's the foundation that each one of us has to have if we are going to leave a good legacy. And it is to be lawful, to be a man of integrity that walks with God. And when we do that, God's eye of approval is on us at all times, and we are set. We have everything we need to leave a good legacy for our family and for the generations to come if the Lord tarries. And then the scripture goes on here and describes Noah's family in Genesis 6:10 and also the latter part of verse 18. Noah had a wife and had three sons, and their sons had wives. So that was the extent of Noah's family as it's described here in the Bible. And then my fourth point is this. God has an agenda for fathers. Let's notice here in Genesis chapter 6, verse 13a, God comes to Noah and says, "And God said unto Noah," and we know the story, and I don't have time to go through all these verses this morning, but you come down to 14a, he says, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood," and he starts describing the ark and how it's supposed to be built. In verse 18, he says, "But with thee will I establish my covenant." And the point I want to make here is that God has an agenda for fathers. God did not go to Noah's wife, neither did he go to Noah's children with his desire for them to build an ark. He went to Noah. And there's a point here that is so important, and that is, fathers, God has called us to be the head of the home, not our wives and not our children. And he will hold us responsible. We are responsible. Noah didn't take the plans for the ark in and lay them down beside his wife and say, "There you go, honey. Have at it. I have other things to do. I got to go out and do some farming." And God says we ought to build this ark. Pretty important stuff here. He even says it's going to save our family. Or he didn't give it to his children and say, "Here, this is your responsibility." No, Noah said, "This is my responsibility." And fathers, if we're going to leave a good legacy, we have to take our responsibility of fathering very, very seriously. And we can't let it to our wives and children, but we need to take it seriously. It's the agenda that God has given to us, and we dare not shrink from it. If we do, it's going to be to the detriment of our families, and the results are going to be a dysfunctional family. Guaranteed. Happens every time. And so, fathers, God has an agenda for us. Let's take it seriously and carry it out. Fifth point I want to make is that being a father, raising a family, is a huge and intense responsibility. It's for men, it's not for boys. In Genesis chapter 6, verses 14 through 22, we have the description that God gives Noah on this ark he's supposed to build. And his assignment is to build this wooden ark, and it's going to be 450 foot long, 70 foot wide, 45 foot high, or three stories, I believe. There was no Home Depot. There was no chainsaw. There was no electric drill. There was no air nailer. It was close to 100 years of hard labor building this ark. And so the point I want to make here is, fathers, we have to be in for the long haul when it comes to being a father. Children are not born one day and move out the next day. It seems like a long, long time. And yet, after your children do leave home and you look back over, and it's like, wow, that went really fast. And yet, it's a long time. And I remember the children being young, and some of those stages our children were in, it's like, will this ever end? You seem so tied down and what have you. But we need to be in for the long haul. The task sometimes looks like it's almost impossible. I'm sure when Noah started with his blueprints and he started collecting lumber and what have you to build the ark, it's like, oh my, this is incredible. How will I ever do this? How can I ever accomplish this? It's the same feeling that fathers often get. So we need to be committed. We need to be in it.
for the long haul. It is a huge and intense responsibility. Which brings me to my sixth point, and that is that we need to get a hold of the vision. If we're going to succeed at leaving a good and a godly legacy, we need to get a hold of a vision. Noah had to have a vision. He couldn't set out building this ark and he's just seeing a tiny bit of it at a time. Now, in Noah's mind, he had a vision, and he saw the ark completed. And so it's important, brothers and sisters, and especially fathers, that in our minds we see the completion of what we're doing. And for verses to go with this point, I want to read verses 17 and 18 in Genesis chapter 6. It says, "And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. From under heaven and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee." See, Noah had a vision, and his vision was that God told me, and I know it's going to come to pass, that this ark is going to save my family, my whole family, from the flood that's going to come upon the world and destroy the world. Judgment is coming. And so Noah had the vision. And when he went out there in the morning and he picked up his whatever he picked up and started hammering away in that ark and started building that ark, he's thinking, and when he got weary and he got tired, he's like, this ark's going to save my family. And fathers, it's not much different. When you're in the midst of fathering and you're taking your responsibilities seriously, and you might get weary at times to think, it's worth it. It's really worth it. What I do can have a great impact on the outcome of not only my spouse, but also my children's lives. And it can be, I can make the difference in how this family really turns out. And so we need to get a hold of the vision. It's very, very important, and it keeps men focused. Do you have a desire as a father? Did you ever picture in your mind what it would be like someday to spending eternity with the Lord in heaven? Did you ever picture your children and your grandchildren and perhaps more generations being together, spending time together in eternity? And did you ever stop and think that I, as a father, if I take my responsibilities seriously, I can have a tremendous influence? Now, people are only saved by the blood of Jesus, as I said, but there's no one more important in a child's life or a spouse's life than their husband, or a children's life as their father. Nobody more important. And we just have a tremendous influence in their lives. And so we need to get a hold of the vision. We need to have a desire that our families would join us in eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we have that vision, we have that desire, beautiful things can happen. And we have to keep that in front of us at all times. And then my next point is, and I take this point from Genesis chapter 6, verse 22. And the verse says, "Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he." And it's very simple, the word obedience. Fathers, there's no substitute for obedience to God. Absolutely none. No substitute. Noah did, what a testimony. Noah did all that God had commanded him to do. And that is a legacy that every one of you, as fathers, should have a desire to leave, that we did as God commanded us to do. That just leaves a lasting impression on our children, on our neighbors, on the world in which we live, to be obedient to God. And Noah did it. There is no substitute for obedience to God. And my eighth point has numerous little points under it, and I'm not going to point to a particular verse for these points, but I believe that understanding families the way that we do, and understanding how families work, and observing families around us, our neighbors, and what have you, I believe that when I think about Noah and his wife and children building this ark and spending all those years doing it, I believe that these things had to be very true and in their lives. I believe that it's a father's responsibility to teach their family, and I believe Noah did that. I believe that Noah taught his family to worship. I don't believe they built the ark. I don't believe they spent 10 hours working at the ark and then went to bed and got up the next morning and went right back to building the ark. I believe that Noah and his family worshiped. They worshiped God as they worked and as they built the ark. I also believe that Noah taught his children. I believe he taught his children to respect their mother and to respect their siblings and to love each other. As parents, what a challenge to raise our children that they love and respect their mother. And fathers, that's our responsibility. I recall times with younger children pulling my children aside and saying, "You may not talk to your mother like that. You may not. That is not allowed in this house." And teaching them to respect their mother is so, so important. And teaching them to respect their siblings. You may not do that to your brother or sister. That's not allowed. That is not right. And I believe Noah did those things because obviously there was harmony in this family and they worked together and they built the ark. I believe the very fact that all his children were apparently walking with God and entered the ark with Noah teaches us that Noah also disciplined his children. So important. Children, young children need to have their will broken. A godly father needs to give leadership and needs to discipline his children. I believe Noah did that. I believe that Noah taught his children to work. Work is not a curse. It's a blessing to be enjoyed. And I realize this more and more, that it's such a blessing to see children that enjoy working. And for most children, it doesn't come by chance. They were taught that it can be fun and that working can be rewarding. And so you find a well-balanced child, you find a godly child, a godly young adult, they're a person that was taught to work. And I know it's not like it was years ago. We don't, most of us don't live on farms like it was 30, 50, 60 years ago. So many of us, you go back a generation or two, grew up in farms. But fathers and mothers, find work for your children. Teach them to work. You don't have to be on a farm to teach your children to work. And it's so obvious. What a blessing at our house sometimes. We're babysitting our grandchildren. And to see some of our older grandchildren loving to work. "Here, can I help?" And they're helping and they're enjoying it. It's like, wow, the world doesn't understand that. They really don't. And if a child is not taught to work, and Marion and I see the results of this too, you don't teach a child to work and you have an 18 or a 20 or a 25-year-old, it's very difficult to somehow teach a young adult to work and to enjoy working. And so that is, the precedent is set as a young child already. And I believe Noah taught his family to work. Fathers, it's so important if you're going to leave a good legacy that you will teach your family to work and to enjoy working. It gives them a sense of partnership. It involves them and makes them feel, gives them a sense of self-worth and a sense of assisting and helping the family, which is so important. And I also believe that Noah taught his family to laugh together. I believe they enjoyed each other. I believe occasionally they took a day off and went to the park or down to the creek or whatever. I really believe they did. It's so important, and I'm blessed when I see some of you guys, your young families, taking a day off with your children, going and doing something. Life is not all about work. Be balanced. Take some time off. Do something with your children. Build memories. When I look back over our raising our family, the highlights are the times we took off and did things, went places, and those memories are just there, and they're so vivid. And I believe it's very important that we do that. Take time, fathers, to smell the roses and to do things with your children. Enjoy each other. My ninth point, you will discover that the seemingly impossible will be possible when God walks with you. I can only imagine that when Noah was building the ark, that there was many times that he comes to something, it's like, I need something here. Where am I going to get this? How's this going to fall together? And Noah goes out into the wilderness or whatever, or the desert, and he finds something, and it's like, this is exactly what I need. This is what I was looking for. And Noah says, you know what? God provided. It wasn't my own intelligence. That God was looking out for me. God provided a way. God is providing this path for me to walk on. This ark is coming together with the assistance and under the direction of God. And so I need to be faithful to God. I need to trust Him. And the seemingly impossible becomes possible when God is with us. And so some of you are in the midst of very intense struggles in raising your families or being a father. It's like, how's this going to come together? How can this possibly work? With God, what seems so impossible, you will discover is possible, because God has a plan. Wait on the Lord. Walk with God. And there will come a moment when you will say, ah, there it is. That's what I need for the ark. That's what I need to save my family. And you'll discover that that is true. We look back in our lives and it's just amazing how God does provide. The world might be mocking and laughing and saying that it won't work to raise a godly family in 2016. But yes, it does work. God will provide. And my last point is simply this. Being a father, raising a family is very rewarding. Let's go to Genesis chapter 8 and verse 20. Genesis 8 verse 20. And this is after the flood. Noah's family was on the ark. They were saved. The flood is over. All that time on the ark, all the time, all the years spent building the ark, all the time on the ark, seeing the heavens open up and all the rain, seeing all the judgment that fell on the earth. And here in Genesis 8 and verse 20, it says, and Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Do you think Noah's family was with him? Do you think his wife and children were around that altar? Do you think this was an intense moments and time of worship, thinking back, reflecting on what God had done for them and their family? I would have loved to be there. I would have loved to have seen that. It must have been a beautiful moment in the life of Noah and his children, and to say, God really did it. He gave us what we needed to build the ark. The judgment came like he said it was going to. We were safe in the ark with all those animals. Here we are, the flood's over, and here we are. I can build an altar. I can worship God. We were protected. We were safe. What a legacy to leave. Verse 21 says, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse any ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more anything living as I have done. But God was thrilled with the obedience of Noah. Fathers, what will our legacy be? Hopefully our legacy will be like the verse I started out with there in Hebrews 11. Hopefully in just a sentence or two, somebody will be able to pen the words, by faith, Jack, Bill, whoever, put your name there. By faith, being warned of God of the judgment that's going to come, we moved with reverence. We reverenced God, and we were moved by that, and we worked to build a home, to build a family where our children could be saved
and could be safe. There is nothing more important, that we could be doing in this world. And I trust that you have that vision as a father, and that you have set out on a path of implementing the plans that God has for your family and for your home, so that you can leave a godly legacy. It seems like there's so few of them being left compared to what there was years ago. But in 2016, it is very possible. And I trust that we have that desire to do it, and we have the vision to do it. And if we do, God, and we walk with God, it can really happen, and beautiful things can be happening. And one day, in a similar way to Noah sat down there with his family and Bill and Oler worship God, one day we can be together in eternity with our family, and we can look back and say, it was worth it all. God's word is true, and it really does work, and we can praise God through the ages of eternity and being thankful that we left, as a father, left a godly legacy. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you this morning for each one of the fathers here. Lord, help us to maintain the vision that you have set before each one of us. Help us to be faithful in the day and age in which we live, in creating an atmosphere and creating a home life in which our children learn what it's like to walk with you, and they have a desire to be like mom and dad, and to know you as their Lord and Savior. And Lord, our vision is that one day we could all be together in eternity. We know, Lord, that the father's position in the home is very important. We know that you've put us there. You've asked us to be the leaders. Lord, help us to take that responsibility seriously. And Lord, we know we cannot do it without your help, and so we cry out to you for your help and for your mercy upon our lives. Forgive us where we have failed, for we know that we have all failed many times, but help us to have a passion to keep moving forward and building a good legacy. It's in Christ's name that I pray. Amen. Have a song, please.